This is the AWS Morning Brief Security Edition. AWS is fond of saying security is job zero. That means it's nobody in particular's job, which means it falls to the rest of us. Just the news you need to know, none of the fluff. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Sysdig. Sysdig is the solution for securing DevOps. They have a blog post that went up recently about how an insecure AWS Lambda function could be used as a pivot point to get access into your environment. They've also gone deep in depth with a bunch of other approaches to how DevOps and security are inextricably linked. To learn more, visit sysdig.com and tell them I sent you. That's sysdig.com. My thanks to them for their continued support of this ridiculous nonsense. Well, oops. Last week in the newsletter version of this podcast, I used the wrong description for a link. On the plus side, I do find myself wondering if anyone ever hunts down the things I talk about on this podcast and the newsletter I send out. And now I know an awful lot of you people do, and you have opinions about the correctness of my links. The actual tech company roundup that I linked to last week was, in fact, not an AWS blog post about the QuickSight community, two words that are an oxymoron if ever two were, but instead a roundup in the Register. My apologies for the oversight. Now let's dive into what happened last week in the wide world of AWS security. In my darker moments, I find myself asking a very blunt question. WTF is cloud-native data security? I confess it never occurred to me to title a blog post with that question, and the article I found with that exact title is, in fact, one of the better ones that I've read in recent days. Check it out if the subject matter appeals to you even slightly, because you're in for a treat. There's a lot to unpack here. Scott Piper has made good on his threat to publish an IMDSV2 wall of shame. So far, two companies have been removed from the list for improving their product security posture. I know it's never happened before, but this is why we care about these things. It's not to make fun of folks. It's to make this industry better than it was. A while back, I talked about how various cloud WAFs, most notably AWS's, having a fun and, in hindsight, obvious flaw of anything above 8 kilobytes just sort of dances through the whole protective layer. Well, even Google and its frankly impressive security apparatus isn't immune. There's an article called Piercing the Cloud Armor that goes into it. This stuff is hard, but honestly, this is kind of a recurring problem. I'm sort of wondering, well, what if we make the packet bigger? Wasn't that the whole problem with the ping of death back in the 80s? Why is that still a thing now?
This episode is sponsored in part by LaunchDarkly. Take a look at what it takes to get your code into production. I'm going to just guess that it's awful because it's always awful. No one loves their deployment process. What if launching new features didn't require you to do a full-on code and possibly infrastructure deploy? What if you could test on a small subset of users and then roll it back immediately if results aren't what you expect? LaunchDarkly does exactly this. To learn more, visit launchdarkly.com and tell them Corey sent you and watch for the wince.
And of course, a now patched vulnerability in Amazon Alexa meant that the speaker could activate itself. Because it's a security problem with an Amazon product that I've paid for, I of course learned about this via a third party talking about it. Man, my perspective on Amazon's security messaging has gone from glowing to in the toilet remarkably quickly this year. And it's their own damn fault. Now, AWS had a single post of note here called Streamlining Evidence Collection with AWS Audit Manager. And this post slash quote unquote solution highlights a concern that's often overlooked by security folks. It very innocently talks about collecting evidence for an audit, which is perfectly reasonable. You need evidence that your audit controls are being complied with. Now, picture someone walking past a room where you're talking about this, and all they hear is evidence collection. Maybe they're going to feel like there's more going on here than an audit. Perhaps they're going to let their guilty conscience, and I assure you, everyone has one of those, run wild with fears that whatever imagined transgression they've committed has been discovered. Remember the human. And of course, I found two tools in the open source universe that might be of interest to folks. The first, AWS has open sourced a security assessment solution to use Prowler and Scout Suite that scan your environment. It's handy, but I'm having a hell of a hard time reconciling its self-described inexpensive with it deploys a managed NAT gateway. And Domain Protect, which is an open source project with a surprisingly durable user interface, scans dangling DNS entries to validate that you're not, you know, leaving a domain of yours open to exploit. You're going to want to pay attention to this vector, but we haven't for 15 years, so why would we start now? And that's what happened last week in the wide world of AWS security. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn. Thank you for listening. There's always more yet to come. Thank you for listening to the AWS Morning Brief Security Edition. For the latest in AWS security that actually matters, please follow AWS Morning Brief on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, or wherever the hell it is you find the dulcet tones of my voice. And be sure to sign up for the Last Week in AWS newsletter at lastweekinaws.com.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.